The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And we are going back to Barolo. Federica Bofa Bognogna is joining us from the Fratelli Bognogna Winery. Federica, thank you so much for being part of the podcast today.
Hi, nice to meet you to everybody. It's really a pleasure to participate in this podcast with you, Matthew.
Yeah, well, I got to meet a bunch of months ago at the National Club and also through Wine Online. When you were here going through your wines, the first thing that I always do with a guest, because I screw up everyone's names, if you could just tell everyone your full name and the name of the winery, so at least people get a proper pronunciation of everything.
Absolutely. I'm Federica Bofa Borgogno, and I'm from Fratelli Serio and Battista Borgogno Winery, based in Barolo in Piemont in Italy.
Let's start a little bit with you. And we'll get to everything about your wines and your beautiful, from the Barberas to the Barbalescos and the Barolos. Federica, what was the first moment can you remember where you fell in love with wine?
The winery is my family winery. So I really grew up in the winemaking, the wine business. So I think the first moment I fell in love with wine is when I was a child, because also I remember I grew up with this, because my grandfather, Sergio, is give to me and my cousin. We now running by the business. We are the fifth generation of the winery. I remember when we was a child, he put like in our glass of water, the wine, and tell to us, now you can drink and you can start to understand something about the wine. So, and this is maybe I was like 6 years old, I don't know, more or less. So, I really every time fall in love with this passion, because he give us a lot of his passion with this, in a very funny way, of course. But also when we grow up, both me and my cousin Manuela, we take his passion and we grow up our passion. I don't know if you understand what I mean.
Of course.
Wine business, I think, is an amazing world. So it's every time something you can learn more and more. So, but born in this is something you can have in your wall, in your heart. So
I hope your father didn't pour single vineyard Barolo into your water glass as a 7-year-old.
No, it's like start with Dolcetto and like regular Nebbiolo and San Barbera. And when I was more like teenager, start with like a serious stuff.
Okay.
Without water.
What do people need to know before we get to the winery? What do people need to know about your father?
My grandfather was Sergio, and he with his brother Battista, these two person give the name to our winery, because the winery is Fratelli, means brothers. Sergio was my grandpa, Battista is brother, and Borgogno is our surname, our family name. So really, they are really there already the third generation of our cellar, because the winery is just started in 1897 with the great uncle, my grandfather. But really start more the commercialization of the bottle with the label like we are used to now with the third generation. So the winery was born in 1897. But is like selling like a cask wine or like a bottle without a label, big bottle or something like that. To Sergio, my grandpa, and his brother, we need to give all the our love, because without they, we are here. So, of course, I really remember him and both of they in in very love way. And now the winery is running by me and my cousin Manuela. We are the fifth generation, but there is also the fourth generation, which is another generation of women. So my mom, Paola, and my aunt, Anna. And my uncle, Marco, is the winemaker with my cousin. And I'm more in commercial and marketing part with my mother, and my aunt is in the part of a accountability accountant. All the family is involved in the business. Also, my father is he worked for us several years in another business, but now he is retired and he helped us doing a lot of work in the cellar. So all the family is involved in the business.
Would you say you're at Fratelli there now? Is there a higher percentage of women helping to run it and in a position of power? Is that the norm, or would you guys be a little bit more of the exception to the rule for the Piemonte area?
No, I think in the last few years, a lot of winery takes by women. I think this grown a lot in the last few years. So I think a lot of like my generation decide to continue the business. And also, if there are a women or men, there is not important. Just like I tell you, is something you have from the previous generation, give their passion. So I think also a lot of women decide to continue this work in the same way.
What's your role? What is your role with Fratelli? What is the average day for Federica?
Really, like in all the small family run cellar, most of the small family run cellar, everybody do everything is like factotum. But of course, I'm more in marketing, commercial part. I take care part of export and part also of the commercial part of Italy. And I do also, we are also our big work also with the customer, like a tourist. And so we do also hospitality, like in a tasting way. So I take care also of this part. So a lot of things, not just one thing. So there is some period of the working year. I'm around the world for promoting the wine. There is some part of the year I like welcome the people, just ring the bell here and want to do a wine tasting. Part of the year I take care of their restaurant and the people from the area, but also outside our region. So there is no boring work. Every day there is something different to do.
And you were so good at the event at the National Club, going over the wines
and
your history.
Thank you so much.
How much air travel do you do in a year? How much time do you spend in planes?
Of course, it depends. The year is, but more or less is one month per a year in the term of days around. It's not a big part. Like I tell you, I need to divide my time for a lot of things. So normally I make like six travel per a year, and in total 1 month around. So a part of Italy market, a part of like sometimes US, sometimes it's Canada, sometimes is Korea, sometimes is Germany. It depends. Sometimes it's Denmark. We work really with 22 different countries all over the world. We try to every year go to some portfolio tasting or a special event our customer do.
Is there one country that surprised you about how much they loved your wines or the wines of Northern Italy, of Piemonte?
This is a difficult question, because really every year the market going different ways. So there is, of course, some markets stay very high every time. I think the two markets for us is US market stay like every time equal, and Denmark maybe is in the same position. But more or less every year, we have some new country maybe focus on our wine and grow up with some quantity, and maybe we make more promotion. So is every year this can be changed. And so, and also every year we can add some new market because we are every time open to add a new one. So also growing in that direction.
We'll talk about your portfolio in a second. When someone sees the word Canubi on a label of Barolo, what does that mean?
Canubi is MGA. We talk about in Italian, Menzione Geografica Aggiuntiva, which is a specific area in the area of production of Barolo, which is 2,000 hectares and includes the Barolo town, but also the 10 towns around Barolo. So like Monforte d'Alba, Castiglione Falletto, Verduno, a small part of Cherasco. We have like La Morra, we have Diano d'Alba, Grinzane Cavour. So a part of Rodi, in all of this area, you can grow Nebbiolo wine. Nebbiolo grape can be in 3 years of age, Barolo wine. In these 11 municipality, you can have a different type of MGA. It's like the French cru. We call in Italy like this, MGA. So Canubi is, I think, one of the special MGA in the area of production of Barolo, because I think is in the middle of the area of production. So so for this is a very nice position, because we have not just one type of soil, but we have three different kind of soil. We have clay, we have fine sand, we have limestone. So this give a lot of layers, a lot of different texture in the wine. And another very important thing of Canubi is the altitude where we are, because it's 280 on the level on the sea. So all the hill around us is a little bit more higher, more taller. And so this helps a lot to protect us by the weather condition in general, like wind and everything. And so generate also a microclimate a little bit more hot compared to another area. For try to explain in the best way, because normally, and you know, I have some of my photo or some of my map with me. So, but in this podcast, of course, it's not possible. So for try to explain to you, think about it, for understand about microclimate. When snow during winter time, everything is white, and after the day after the snow start to going away, the snow, first part without snow, no white, is Canubi. All around the hill is white. Canubi is without snow. This explain a lot the microclimate, more hot compared to another area, and the protection all the hill around us makes for us.
That's going to help with just the wines being fully ripened and getting all the sun they need.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, whenever I see the word Canubi, I always think, okay, this is in a very special spot that works, as you mentioned, all the soils that work so well to make a high quality Nebbiolo. We'll get away from Nebbiolo for a second. I was wondering if you could tell people a little bit about some of your more entry level that were really good. What's the winemaking that goes into your Barberas and your Dolcettos?
So our approach in winemaking is kind of very traditional approach. So most of our red wine makes the maturation in a big wooden barrel. It's 15,000 liters of Slavonia oak from Slovenia, East Europe. Kind of very neutral oak, kind of no express too much the flavor of the wood in the wine. So we use this kind of wooden barrel, which is called Pino. And the maturation of our grape is doing this kind of barrel. So, for example, the Dolcetto d'Alba 2023 was make a maturation in this wooden barrel for around 8 days. And we do a maturation with cap, and the skin stays in the up part of this barrel. And we do two pumping over per day, 1 hour each time, for make breathe the wine, oxygenate the wine, and in the same time take everything we need from the skin. And after this first process, for all the red wine we produce, we make a malolactic fermentation, and we do this in steel tank in natural way with no induction. And so we try to maintain the temperature in the room, and we wait until the malolactic is finished. And after that, we move in another steel tank, and we leave like 2-3 months for aging before the bottling. This is for Dolcetto d'Alba. About the Barbera and the Barbera d'Alba Superiore, we do a little bit different work in the term of aging, because the fermentation is also due in Tino, a little bit more long maturation, is like 15 days of maturation with the skin. Also, malolactic is due in steel tank, but after the aging is due 1 year, more or less, of course, it depends on the vintage. In the case of 2020, we have now on the market, is like 1 year total of age in big wooden barrel, 4,000 liters, also in this case, Lavoni oak. So, of course, for Bia Barbera d'Alba Superiore, a wine needs to store a minimum month, so 6 months of age in oak. But we decide to age a little bit longer, more contact with wood, for make a little bit more smoother and elegant touch to this Barbera. Without loss the higher acidity this wine have normally, but makes a little bit more elegant touch. So for this, we decide to make a little bit longer. Of course, this is for 2020. Sometimes it's more, sometimes it's a little bit less. We like to make for all our wine a work different. I like to tell is that all the vintage of the wine is like a different person. So we need to approach in different way. So in the first part, so in the vineyards, but also in the winemaking. So we need to understand, and this is an art my cousin, my uncle have, need to understand when is the time for make the harvest, when is the time for make the maturation, and how much time needs to take this. So these are very important.
And what I appreciate about that is all the time and attention and care that goes into your more entry-level wines. You know, it just means people get excited about the Barolos and the Barbarescos if you're putting all that focus on the Dolcettos and the Barberas. I'm wondering, and this one, Federica, people ask me a bunch, what would you say is the big difference between Barbaresco and Barolo? It's the same grape. It's not that far off from one another, but yet there are big differences. How would you describe it?
I can describe it in a funny way.
Do it.
No, I just kidding. But sometimes when we speak about Barolo and Barbaresco, we speak about the queen, which is the Barbaresco, and the king is Barolo. But really, this is just a funny thing, because of course it's not possible to generalize in this way, because Barbaresco can be is possible to produce in Barbaresco, Treviso, Neve, and San Rocco Senodelvio. And really, if you move from a part to another part, you can have more elegant Barbaresco, more strong Barbaresco, more fresh Barbaresco. So, of course, what is the difference is the time of aging. So, for have Barbaresco needs to wait 2 years. For have Barolo is not another, just kind of another area, but also time of aging is a little bit longer because it's 3 years of age. And for Barbaresco is minimum 12 months of, 9 months age in oak. For Barolo is minimum 18 months need to be in oak. There is a lot of difference give to the wine a different, of course, structure, flavor, texture. So, of course, this makes the difference. But also, if you move from a part to Barolo, also 1 kilometer maybe from, for example, from Canubi, you can have a completely different kind of taste. So just need to understand what the people like it and choose the best for day, because both of these wine are very longevity wine. So I think Barbaresco have this more elegant touch, more fineness. Barolo is a little bit more persistent in the mouth, but like I tell, is it depends also which area we speak about.
What's the oldest bottle you've ever had of either one of your wines or just of someone else's Barolo or Barbaresco? What's the oldest bottle of wine from Piemonte that you've ever tried?
I think like from or 58, some of the vintage of my parents.
Cool.
Because normally, you know, it's like tradition in Italy when you have like birthday vintage leave and open in a special like occasion, like birthday or retirement or something like that. So I think I have tried a few from 58 and a few from 64. I think this is the oldest of my winery I have, and I can have try. And yeah. I think this kind of wine is kind of amazing longevity, because of course it's kind of different taste compared to a young Barolo, but can maintain a very nice structure, very nice full body also after like 40, 50, 60 years. So it's a kind of a special things for the wine.
It is remarkable just how it can age forever and be just as elegant and a fruit 30, 40 years down the road. Were you always going to go into wine, or is there any part where you thought you might have done something different?
In a time, of course, in my life, I also be a passionate in graphic and photography. In a time, I help also between the work in the winery, photographer, and I have a lot of passion about doing photo, but after I decided is not equal passion, so I prefer to like not keep the photography things, but continue in another way, also a little bit more soft. And yeah. Focus on the wine also, because I think you know, but maybe the people don't know, but if you are a winemaker, if you work in the business, but you are like a family winery, this kind of passion is also like a style of your life. So it takes a lot of the day of your week and your weekend too. But if you have the passion, you don't feel. It's no. Like in all the work, so
yeah. Oh, of course, a family business, one that's been around since the 19th century, making great wines. Of course, it can take a lot of your time. Actually, when was the last time you had a full day off where you had to deal with nothing with Fratelli?
No, I have, of course, a few. I try to have like one day per week off. Mm-hmm. But of course there is some period you can don't do that, because maybe start the harvest, start like high season for tourism. So there is like from September to December there is all work, but it's also nice have this kind of a period of the year, because as like, you know, finish of working here in the term of the harvest way, and in the same time in the tourist way, there is a lot of people want to know about you, about the winery. Never stop the tourism in that period. So it's a kind of a satisfaction also, because if the people want to come here and everybody want to come in Lang area, not just in my winery I speak about, but in general, there is something to be proud, because I think in 2014, Lang area become UNESCO. So this is another part for be proud of our area. Also, you know, if you don't have these, it's strange, because I'm a person like every day open my window and I fall in love with my land. So yeah. If also the people can understand these from all over the world, they can fall in love too. So
I've been to your area twice. It's easy to fall in love. Actually, quickly about wine tourism. I don't know how it is now, because I haven't visited your area in a decade, but I found it was very easy. I found you could go to some high-end wineries, knock on the door, and they would let, as long as there was room, they would let you in. What is the tourism like in your area now?
Of course, you can do that most of the time of the year. in high season can be hard.
Yeah.
Because like from like in our case, we are like not open like 360 days per year, 65 days per year, but like normally we are open Monday to Friday during low season, like January, February, and March, open like every day from April, May, more or less. It depends also, of course, of the year to December. So there is no closing day. So for us, is just someone ring the bell and I want to do a wine tasting. I want to have a glass of wine and take outside. They can do that. Of course, it's not for everybody like this. And of course, the high season can be hard to do this because we have a lot of booking. And
of course,
just a few people work in the business. So we have me and my mother, and we have another employee during help us all the season, and two employee normally just do weekend and make a turn. But of course, it's impossible to have a lot of people working during Saturday and Sunday. So, and we do not a private tasting for everybody, but all the people normally have their seat, the single table, and they can make not like a private tasting, but something very singular. Is difficult to do in high season. But,
oh yeah, and I think the two times.
All the other season, you can just ring the bell and come in.
Which is what I love. It's one of your wines. Your winery is one of the most distinguished and famous wineries in the world. But it's a lot easier getting in to see you guys than it is, say, in Burgundy. Last question for you: how tough is it in your area to balance between the old traditional ways of making Barolo and Barbaresco with the big giant Botis, you know, the big giant Slovenian oak, versus trying to innovate and stay modern? How hard is it to balance those two things?
I think it's very, very important for us, of course, for our philosophy, need to be very near to our roots, because without these, we have not our identity. We are not also here without our roots. But it is also important to be open mind and make something new every time, not just in the term of winemaking, but also every time take some new wine or new barrel or try to do a new technique without lost the roots. I don't know if you understand what I mean.
Of course.
But in the last few years, when me and my cousin, but in particular my cousin, take the hand of this part with her father of the winemaking, we start to do for some new wine, because we rent a new vineyard, we do some new things. We start also to approach in a different way, not just oak in fermentation, but also still, maybe not all the stemming, but also some whole bunch in the term of 10 to 20% in maturation of the grape. So more still tank if the wine need also still. So I think if in the past we are a little bit more vertical and strict in our internal rules, now we try to adapt more to what the wine needs. And also try new technique and new things and new barrel and new styles for us in winemaking without lost our identity. So we don't use, for example, any barrique, any small barrel in our winery. We continue to do in this way. But of course, we have buy a new barrel for the fermentation, which is smaller compared to the 15,000 liters we have bought last year. 2,500 liters barrel for the fermentation is a new generation of barrel. You can do also fermentation and aging too. So it's more than 10 years ago, we have bought our new bottling machine also for me every time on you know, makes something new in the and make the best for the wine in the term also of aging. So I think it's important doing this way. So it's not hard. It's not just, I think, a natural way, the evolution way.
It's interesting. Again, no barriques. So that means you're still not going the full modern way, which certainly some of the wineries in your land are doing. Federica, I wish we had more time. I want to tell everyone to go to wineonline.ca. You can find some of your wines are available here in Toronto and in Ontario, so people can find some of your products. I would tell everyone to go and seek out the wines of Fratelli, from your Simple Dolcetto to your Reserva Barolo was fantastic. Your white wines as well, which is rare in your area, but were really good. And I appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on the podcast.
Oh, it's a very pleasure for speak with you. And I hope a lot of people can try the wine and also maybe visit us soon in Italy.
I say all the time, it's my favorite area. I would take the north over the central. I'll take Piemonte over Tuscany. The food's a little better. The wine's a little better. It's a little less crowded. That's my own bias. But thank you again for doing the podcast today.
So make you wait also for you here.
Yes. Oh my God. I can't wait to come back. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Ciao. Arrivederci.
Thanks everyone for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Spotify, iTunes, Apple, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.